Turn to Genesis chapter 18, please, if you will, in your Bible. If you would please stand with me as we read the scripture passage for today to honor the Lord's word. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and him is Abraham. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us understanding of your word today. We ask that you would please anoint us to understand the truth. I ask that you would please anoint my mouth to speak your words. And what you want us to hear today, that we would hear that. I pray against the evil spirits and the principalities and powers and the forces of darkness that would like to distract us, would like to blind us, would like to snatch away this truth. I pray against them in Jesus' name, and through the power of his blood, I command that they be silent and be bound and loosed away. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to apply this truth today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very powerful part of the Bible. It is a very powerful part of the Bible. And it's a story with so much going on and so many good lessons to learn. It has so many good lessons to learn that I don't think we can hit it all at one time. So the story will continue on. This will be part one of our message from Genesis chapter 18. And I don't know that we can really go into the depths of meaning here this morning, so I just feel like the Lord wants me to share a couple of the things that I've been meditating on this morning related to this passage of Scripture, just these first eight verses. I want you to get a picture of what was happening here. The plains of Mamre were nearby to the cave of Machpelah. Who here knows what the cave of Machpelah eventually was? Anybody? No candy for this one. This is just credit. Daniel? I don't think so. Maybe, but I don't think so. It was a tomb, though. It was Truman? No? Greg? That is correct. Eventually, Abraham purchased the cave of Machpelah as a family burial ground, and it is the first piece of Canaan that Abraham ever owned after he bought that cave. He hadn't done that yet, but this place where he's at is nearby to that cave, the plains of Mamre. Mamre was a man who was an ally of Abraham. And it says he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, in the Middle East, the heat of the day is really, really, really hot. And over here in America, we just kind of work through the heat of the day. But over there, that's foolish. So they usually stop and they find some shade, you know, noon, 1 o'clock, wherever the sun is at its height and it's just so incredibly hot. They find some shade. They maybe take a nap. Everything shuts down in the middle of the day. Even today, to a large part, they still do that. So in the heat of the day, Abraham may have been tending flocks or doing his regular stuff, but at the heat of the day, he stopped, and he was sitting in the door of his tent. So what they would do is their tents, they'd set up, kind of a little porch thing there to give them some shade. And so in the door of your tent, you set up some shade that you could just relax in and just endure the heat of the day. He was comfortable. As comfortable as you could be at that part of the day. that's the situation Abraham was in. He was comfortable in his tent. He was at peace. And he looks up and he sees three men. Look at verse 2. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Three men. Now, as we read on in this passage, you can begin to see that this was two angels, and one of them was a pre-incarnate Christ. You can tell by the way that Abraham addresses them in the next verse. He says, Lord. He says, now, Lord, and he uses the word Adonai. Adonai was a proper name of God. In fact, almost every time it's used in the Bible, it's used to refer to God himself. It is a plural word. The Hebrew word, it comes from a Hebrew word Adon, which is singular for Lord. But Adonai is plural. And so, essentially, it kind of means my lords. But he was referring to this one guy. He was using the name of God. He knew. Okay, that's significant, I believe. It wasn't one of these situations where, oh my goodness, this is really the presence of God, and I didn't realize it until my eyes were opened. Abraham knew who he was talking to. He recognized the divinity. He knew this is Adonai. This is somebody special. And these other two angels were with him, and they come in later in the story. But these two angels and a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the Son of God, standing there before Abraham. Now they were standing there, and in Eastern cultures, a traveler wouldn't have to knock or wouldn't have to, hey, could I please have hospitality? They would be approached for hospitality. So for some reason, the Lord and his two associates are observing Abraham from apparently some distance. They're not right next to him. They're some distance away. So those three guys are standing over there some distance away. Maybe they're talking. Doesn't say they're looking at Abraham, but it seems to imply that they were probably looking in his direction. And as soon as Abraham looked up and saw those men, it says he ran. He ran to them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Again, that is an indication that Abraham knew this is the Lord. This is the Lord, not just a great man. This is the Lord. He bowed down to the ground in worship. Abraham is urgently, quickly, he got up and run. How old is Abraham? Who knows? In this part of the Bible, Lilybeth, you are correct. 99. He is 99 years old in this part of the Bible, in this story. Thank you. The chapter previous, he's 99. So, think about that now. A 99-year-old man jumps up from the shade of his tent and runs toward the Lord. He had a sense of urgency about stopping them, about bringing them to enjoy his hospitality. And then look at what Abraham says. And we're going to get the lesson here in a minute. It says, "My Lord, Adonai, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." He said, don't keep going. You get the implication here that these guys were maybe going to keep on going and wouldn't have stopped if Abraham hadn't rushed over there and said, please, please, come and enjoy some hospitality. Let me serve you. Let me minister to you. Come and take your ease. Don't keep on going. They would have passed on by if he hadn't urgently run to them and said, come here. Please come here. Please come here. Do not pass, but stay. He says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou said. Okay, you can do it. So then what does he do? He runs back. Verse 6, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal kneaded and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So here's the picture. This is not just, you know, a leisurely, you know, social dinner. You know, where you have friends over and, hey, well, you know, we're going to hang out and, you know, we'll have fun talking and chatting in the kitchen. And then, you know, well, that's not the picture. We'll play some games after. No, that's not what's happening. He runs from his tent and he says, hey, please, don't pass away. You guys come over here and I'll make something for you and you can sit and enjoy some hospitality. Please stay. And I say, okay. He says, okay, and he runs back. He says, all right, come on over. And he runs into the tent. And he says, quick. Quickly, Sarah, make some cakes. Quick as you can. Do it right now. Okay, Abraham. I mean, or maybe she called him Abram. You know, she might not have gotten used to the whole H thing yet, maybe. I don't know. But she says, okay, I'll do it. And so he runs into the herd, and he gets the best calf he can find. And he runs over to his young man servant. He says, here, I want you to dress this as quickly as you can, and I'm going to go start the fire, and we're going to start a barbecue. And so he runs over, and he starts making the fire to dress the animal. I'm assuming that he would have cooked the meat. I don't think they would have served him. I mean, maybe God likes his steak raw. Not sure. Whew. I think he probably would have had it done well. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Amen. Interpret scripture with scripture. Don't eat the blood. God said don't eat the blood, so he probably didn't want a raw steak. So they dressed the meat as quickly as they could, cooked it. By that time, the cakes had gotten done baking. And so then he sets down a meal before the Lord. And what does it say he does? It says he stood by while they enjoyed it. Abraham didn't sit down and, you know, yeah, she's a great cook, huh? You know, and, you know, just chew the fat and chat with them. He said, it says he stood there like a servant. That's what he was doing. He was serving them. He would not partake of it with them. He was showing them honor by standing as the servant. And, oh, here, let me get that for you. You want a little more? Here, sure. Here's a little more milk. Absolutely, as much as you want. And he was standing as a servant to the Lord and the angels. And they did eat. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Some translations say he was under the oaks of Mamre. There's like a grove of trees. So there was trees there, and he set what he had before them, butter and milk. I read another translation that said curds and whey. Hopefully the spiders didn't come down and sit beside them. But this is the lesson I think we can draw from this, okay? That's the picture that is painted for us in these first 8 verses. And here's, I think, the lesson we should draw. Sometimes we sit comfortably in our life. We all have trials and struggles, of course. But there are times at which we are at peace or we're comfortable with the way things are. We need to be alert to the passing of the Lord. We need to be alert to the working of God, to see where he is and what he is doing. You see, the Lord was on a mission. He tells Abraham later on what he's doing. He said, shall I hide it from Abraham? We'll get to that later. There's deeper meaning here, I told you. But the Lord was on a mission. He was on a task. He was headed for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham sees him over there. He sees those men over there. He doesn't just sit in his comfortable spot. Notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't wonder who they are. He doesn't continue to enjoy his comfortable place. He gets out of his comfort zone and he pursues the Lord. He pursues after the Lord. He sees that is God. That's not a normal, everyday, average guy over there. That's the Lord. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to beg him to come back and let me serve him. I want to be in his presence. I want to entertain and serve the Lord at my table. Please don't pass away. Don't pass your servant. If you are pleased with me, if I found favor in your sight, don't pass away. Come and let me wash your feet. Let me prepare something for you. Friends, we need to be aware of the work God is doing. We need to be alert to be able to see with spiritual eyes when God is working. Where is Jesus Christ? What is he doing? We need to be alert to the moments where we can sense God's presence. But we also sometimes need to get out of our comfort zone and pursue after that presence. You see, it's a lot of times it's really easy to say, well, you know, I'm just happy, you know, being where I am. I'm comfortable with things as they are. And the Lord wants more for us than that, but we won't get it unless we pursue it. You see the significance here? Abraham would not have enjoyed what comes after. God gives him a promise. Next year you'll have a child. God reveals to him the workings that he's doing in the world. And none of that would have happened if Abraham had not gotten up and run and said, please, come and let me make something for you. Come and relieve yourself. Guys, there are blessings and joys that God wants to bestow upon us that we will not enjoy if we do not pursue his presence. There are times when he would like to reveal something to us. He would like to do something in our heart. He would like to give us an experience of wonderful joy. But we let it pass by because we're comfortable with things the way they are. Because we would rather pursue our own pleasures rather than pursue the presence of God. There's something incredibly powerful and incredibly wonderful about the presence of God, but sometimes we have to get up out of our chairs and pursue it. There are things that we will not get if we don't choose to go after it. God loves to reveal himself. He loves to spend time with us, but he doesn't always come just a knocking on our door. He doesn't always just come and clock us upside the head and say, you will pay attention to me right now. Now, he does that, but not always. Sometimes God is so intent upon spending time with us that he comes and he just clocks us upside the head and he says, you're going to pay attention to me right now. But sometimes there are joys and sweet fellowship that we miss because we don't pursue him. Abraham enjoyed fruits that come after this are amazing because he pursued the presence of God and invited him back and didn't invite him back because, you know, Lord, I just need to tell you, I need a new tent flap because this one is really falling apart. Or, Lord, my donkey is got... He's breaking down, his foot's all torn apart, and I need a new donkey, please. I need a donkey that's going to seat all of my family, and this one is too small now. He didn't call him to do that. He didn't call him over to tell him everything that he needed. Abraham wasn't seeking a spiritual vending machine. Or a physical vending machine, even. He just wanted the opportunity and the privilege to serve the Master, to entertain the Master, to wait upon him, to be able to be in his presence. And then listen, Abraham says hardly anything except, please come over here and let me serve you. And then, please get this stuff ready. Quickly, hurry and do it. There's an urgency about him because it's important to him to wait upon the Lord. Friends, we need that urgency in our own lives. We need a sense of intenseness about enjoying the presence of God. We need to understand the power that comes to our lives, the change, the formation, the incredible things that come just from simply being in the presence of God. Seeking it, running for it. Oh, please, please, please don't go away. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Because he might. There are joys and treasures and blessings that God bestows upon people that pursue those things. There are some things that he's like, hey, I'd love to give this to you, but you got to ask. You got to seek it. There are things that we miss out on because we're too comfortable. We would rather enjoy the shade in the heat of the day rather than run out in the heat of the day and pursue after the presence of God and say, please, please, come here. Let's just please spend some time together because that's important. Please, I'll give you my best moment of the day if you'll just come and be with me. And friends, it's not wrong to ask God for the things that we need. It's not wrong to pray and ask Him to give us things, even things we want. Lord, I want this. Okay, that's not wrong. It's good to ask God for those things. But there is a part of our relationship with God that needs to be just listening. There's a part of our relationship with Him that needs to be just me coming and I'm going to serve. And I'm not going to come with any expectations or requirements. I'm just going to be there. Just going to be. I'm not going to do, not going to ask. I'm just going to be. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Friends, when you know God, when you know the Lord, you find peace. You know Him, you find love. You can't know Him and not love Him more. You can't see more of God and not fall deeper in love. If you're truly a child of God, if you're not a child of God, you see more of God and you get afraid. But that even that fear is meant to bring us to Him. Knowing God is eternal life, Jesus said. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know Thee and Thy Son whom Thou hast sent. Know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. That's what He said is the definition of eternal life. Would you like to enjoy eternal life? Then go to the presence of God and simply know Him. Ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Don't go to Him and require things, or the only thing we ever ask, the only thing we ever talk to God about is things we want. Sometimes just go and listen. That's what Abraham was doing. Abraham didn't ask God for a single thing. He went to listen. He went to serve. He said, please come and let me wait upon you. But he had to pursue it. And I think that's the point that I want that the Lord wants us to hear today. He had to pursue it. They would have passed by if he had not gone to them. Friends, we need to think about what is my comfort zone. What is my comfort zone? And do I need to get out of it? Do I need to jump out and run after God? Well, first of all, you need to learn how to discern where God is and where He isn't. That comes from the Word. You have to have discernment. But when you know that is God, God is doing that over there, I'm going to jump out and pursue it. And not even necessarily things that He's doing, but to pursue His presence, to pursue a relationship with Him. Sometimes that means you got to put down the phone. Sometimes it means you got to turn off the television. Sometimes it means you got to tell your family, I'm going to go be alone for a while. And you have to go and pursue the presence of God. Jesus said, enter into your closet. Go to the quiet place and there pray. Jesus oftentimes would go by himself and pray all night long with no one else around. He did that a lot. In fact, he did it oftentimes after a great deal of ministry had gone out of him. He would go off by himself and he would just pray to restore and rejuvenate his soul. I believe God is calling us to him. God didn't even call Abraham, but he was standing there, and I think he was watching to see what Abraham will do. And if Abraham had just continued to sit in his comfortable place and continued to enjoy the fruits of his labor in the heat of the day, hey, it's hot out there. It would be uncomfortable for him to leave the shade of the tent. God was standing there waiting to see what he would do. If he'd have stayed there, I think God would have said to the other guys, these angels, come on, let's go. We got business in Sodom. Do you think Lot would have survived? because you know the rest of the story probably, which we're going to get into in coming weeks. God says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Now, this is after Abraham's pursued his presence. God reveals what he's about to do. And Abraham said, he says, God tells Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if they are as wicked as their cry says they are. And Abraham says, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? What if there's only 50 righteous? And God says, okay, I won't destroy them for 50. And he pares it down. He says, okay, Lord, if there's only 10 righteous people, will you spare the city? And God says, yes. I don't know if Lot would have survived. Maybe this moment where Abraham pursues the presence of God, he pursues the opportunity to enjoy God's presence, leads to the salvation of Lot and his family from Sodom. Friends, that's what I'm trying to say. We think of enjoying the presence of God as a spiritually stoic thing that monks generally do, or some really good pastors maybe, or a couple Catholic priests. They just, and you have to chant in order to enjoy the presence of God, apparently. No, that's the way we think of it. We think of what I'm describing to you being in God's presence. I'm describing to you enjoying relationship with Him. We think of that as something that is only for my own spiritual benefit. That's so wrong. It's not just for you. Because you come out of those moments where you just simply serve God your best, you wait upon Him, you enjoy His presence, you come listening, and you just enjoy His presence. You come out of that empowered to change things in the world. You come out of that understanding God's heart about people and things and situations and opportunities. You come out of that time with understanding and wisdom and discernment and the ability to make a difference in your circle of influence. That time with God that you just slough off because, well, it would be inconvenient. That time with God, that time where you just do all the talking and you stop listening, that time where God wants to speak to you, that is where people's lives are changed. That's where not just your life is changed, but where you are made able to change lives, where God infuses you with His life and then makes you capable of understanding what to do in the rest of the world. Abraham came out of this presence of God, changed in his life, but also with discernment, also with understanding that he didn't have before. But he had to pursue the presence of God. Are we pursuing the presence of God? I confess this is my weakness. I would rather do comfortable, easy things than the hard things that require me, that God requires of me to pursue His presence. I would rather sleep an extra half an hour than enjoy God's presence. And I say that to my shame. I could get up sooner than I do. It doesn't matter when you get up. Whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You could get up half an hour sooner. I'd take half an hour. 30 minutes to just sit and listen to God. To just simply enjoy the words that He has shared with you. That He has bestowed upon us. This blessed Holy Scriptures. To enjoy God's presence. Friends, that's where lives are changed, not just yours. That's where the work of the kingdom occurs. But we might have to pursue it. Sometimes God will come to you and he'll just go, kaplunk, you and I are going to talk. And he just inserts himself into your life. And you're like, oh man, God is really speaking to me. And that's good. God will do that. But there are other treasures, other blessings that God reserves only for those that pursue after them. The Psalms say, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. If those kings don't go searching, they don't find those treasures. They don't find the matter if they don't go searching. So friends, that is my exhortation to you today, to follow Abraham's good example, to get up out of that comfortable place and be willing to endure maybe some uncomfortable things in order to get the passing of God, in order to get the Lord's presence to come to you. Go and pursue him. Pursue the fellowship and the relationship and the joy of God's presence. And earnestly, urgently seek after it. If you are not enjoying regularly that sweet fellowship with God, friends, you need to fast and pray. We need to fast and pray. If we are not regularly enjoying that type of sweet fellowship, we need to fast and pray and say, God, what is wrong with me? What is wrong in my life? Why? I need it. See, that's what I'm saying. We need to have an urgency, the same urgency that caused Abraham to run at 99 years old and say, please come over here. And when they said, yes, we will, he ran into the house and said, quickly, make some cake, make something for them to have. And he ran outside and grabbed an animal and he said, quickly, make this up. This is urgent. I don't want to spend any more time than necessary preparing for this moment. I want to get to the moment as fast as I can. The moment where I get to stand and serve God. The moment where I get to stand and enjoy his presence. And that's it. I'm just enjoying being with him. And I'll watch him eat. And I'll fill his cup. And I'll entertain God. Is that the way we live? Because it needs to be. We need to have that kind of urgency about pursuing God's presence. And if you're like, I can't stand that presence. I can't endure it. Then maybe there's some sin in your life you need to deal with. Maybe there's some issues that you need to clear up. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you need to repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ as your Savior. Because let me tell you, the presence of God is not a joy to someone who is under their sins. We need to be free and clear. Our conscience needs to be purged. We need to be under the blood, cleansed in the blood in order to enjoy, truly enjoy the presence of God. And if that is not the case of your heart this morning, I encourage you, I implore you, I beg you, cast away your sins, repent of them, and put your faith in Christ Jesus alone. And if you are a believer, you know you're a believer, but there's some sin in your heart that you've adopted and not been willing to give up, you need to repent. Because the presence of God, you will not find it until you do. And in fact, God will start revealing things as you enjoy that presence. As you pursue the presence of God, he'll start winnowing out the wickedness, winnowing out, shaping, polishing the diamonds that he loves. Well, I think I've probably said enough. I hope that you have heard what God has said today. I hope that you will pursue with urgency the presence of God in your life, because it's from there that we become stronger Christians, and it is from there that we will change the world. We will change the people that we have influence over. The circle that we have an impact upon will change as we come out from that sweet time of fellowship with the Father. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master, Adonai, we glorify your name and we thank you for teaching us this lesson. And we pray that you would help us to do what it needs to be done. That you would help us to be willing to endure difficulties and challenges in order to find the sweet presence of God. That we would pursue after the special blessings you grant to those that pursue after you. That we would, Lord, we just need a lot of grace. It's really hard to do this, Lord, because the enemy knows what a powerful thing it is. And we pray that you would give us the grace that we need to do right. The grace that we need, Lord, to pursue after you. Casting aside any weight that would hinder us. Putting away anything that would get in our way. And seeking after you with our whole heart. Lord, there are daily chores, daily tasks, daily things that have to be done. We pray that we would pursue after your presence in the midst of all of those daily things. Dear God, we need you. We pray that you would not pass by. Pass us not. But come and meet with us. Allow us the privilege of serving in your kingdom, serving you, bringing you glory. Lord God, we love you. We are thankful for this word, and we pray that you'd help us to know it better. In all these things, we glorify your name. Amen.